Okay, this is Build a Better Business. This is for entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. And we're talking about building a better business. And we go through a whole series on building a better business, everything from coming up with your value proposition statement to actually putting together your story. Your storytelling is your marketing. And then your serving is your selling. If you're getting started and you don't have a very big audience, you can borrow someone else's audience, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And from there, we then start talking about how to create your products. And then at the very end, later in the year, as we get through all the different product creativity that all of us have, then we're going to talk about how can we market those products. And so again, it's like, well, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Do you create your products first and then you start marketing? Do you start marketing as you're creating your products? And the answer is yes, all of the above. And here's why. As you start down that path, you start to have clarity. Am I right? For some of you gals that have been with me, guys and gals that have been with me for a while, as you start down that path, you get more clarity on what you want to offer, how you want to offer it, who you want to offer it to. And as you get that clarity, then you can decide if you want to narrow in on a particular audience. So it all just gets more clear over time. And it's okay to be messy up front. It's okay to start messy. We all did. We all came up with something that we wanted to get out there and market. And so yeah, it's just kind of a messy process from the very beginning. Oh, we got Mason and Ruth. Let me jump over and let some folks in here. And I want other folks to be allowed to chat with us. So now we've got 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, but 14. So there's a couple folks that I don't have in. Who do I not have in? So I apologize if you're kind of just hanging out there and you don't see where you can chat with us. I want to make it where everyone can chat at least. For the new folks, you will not be able to turn your video on, but you will be able to chat with us. But for those of you that have been with me for a while, you can actually link through on your video as well. So anyway, as we get through this whole series, toward the end, we then are talking about marketing and how to get the word out that you have these products and services, and that you are serving this particular audience, and that you do have a story to tell, and you do have a product. And from there, we talk about how you can create a blog, you can do podcast, you can be guest on podcast, and from there, you could even put yourself out there as a speaker. What is it they say? The thing that people fear the most is public speaking. Yeah. Oh, I don't know how many of you in this group are afraid of public speaking, but yeah, that's a hard one. And for some of us gals, oftentimes the public speaking part, kind of, and maybe guys too. I don't know. I'm not a guy. I'm with Mark, and Mark, he lets everything roll off. But for some of us gals, sometimes we're worried about how we look if we're public speaking. It's like, oh, are we gonna? And again, when you worry about how you look, the only thing you're really worried about is somebody gonna judge me? Are they gonna go, look what she's wearing, or look what she said, or look how she's presenting herself? So we worry about those things, and that's why people hate to do public speaking. I am here to tell you that the more you do it, the less you worry about it. There are days that I get on, some of these calls, and then I think to myself, did I comb my hair? So it's all good. It's all good. Trust me. I want to make sure, and again, I keep checking to make sure I've got everybody in. We have more and more joining. Let me see. We got 14. Yeah. So everybody's on. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that everybody shows here on this screen. So anyway, I am going to go around, and I want everybody to just briefly introduce yourself as to basically, and we talked a couple of months ago about how, our VPS, putting together our value proposition statement. So many of you may not have that yet in this group, and that I get that. But just give us maybe a one sentence on what it is that you do. So I am Kathy Benner. I am coming to you from Canal Winchester, Ohio. I live half time in Canal Winchester, which is right outside of Columbus, and half time in Sarasota, Florida. I have a condo down there, and we just got back late yesterday, so I am now here in Ohio, and I am a passive income mentor, and I used to present myself as a passive income coach, but I love the mentoring space, and there is a difference between the word mentor and coach, and so I've changed my vision to passive income mentor. So that's who I am, and that's where I come from. Linda, how about you? Tell the folks who you are, what it is that you do in a sentence or two, and where you're coming to us from.
Okay, my name is Linda Thomas, and I am in the Pennsylvania contingent. I'm in southwestern PA between Pittsburgh and the Ohio border, and I am the founder of the Legacy of Love Project, where I help people to create their own unique end-of-life plan so that they can be a blessing to their loved ones instead of a burden.
Perfect. 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 And I'm going to use Linda if that's okay with her. I'm going to use Linda as an example later about how serving is selling and how you can borrow someone else's audience. Because Linda did just that by being one of my biggest fans. And so, Linda, can I use you as an example later in the program? Okay. And pay attention to what I'm doing right now. I'm making Linda a co-host. Okay. You know why? Because I trust her. You know, you'll start to see how that works. Now, Sherry, daughter, who is hiding behind her camera today, she is actually my my co-host, but because she did not come up on stage, I can't make her my co-host at the moment. So, and then I'm going to make Estella my co-host, and I am going, and you see what I'm doing. These are folks that have hung out with me, and I can trust them. I know them. You see how that works. I can make them my co-host. And by doing that with Linda and Estella and Ruth and Debbie and Sherry, once her camera's on, it just lets those folks know that I trust them with my audience. You see how that works? Because they have been dedicated to me. I am now dedicated to them. And that's what we're talking about today. Mason, how about you? Tell us where you're coming to us from and what you're offering the world.
Well, I am. This my name is Mason Van Dyke. I'm coming from Newark, which is outside of Columbus, a little farther outside than Kathy. As far as what I'm, you're phrasing, offering the world, trying to work towards help people become more comfortable with their story and the things that are not usually spoken about but need to be spoken about. So that's
Mason,
it in a
thank you.
nutshell.
Yeah, thank you so much. And Mason is my co-host on another lane, so I'm making him my co-host today as well. Debbie, can you show your camera and tell us where you're coming to us from and all that good stuff? I don't know if Debbie's she her video kind of disappeared there. So we'll come back to Debbie. How about you, Estella?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Estella Blake here, and what I do and how I make a difference is, you know how sometimes when people are taken advantage of, and they get mad, upset, and they don't know what to do because they can't afford to get help, legal help. Well, I help people get access to a law firm that will help them. Help advocate for them and take care of the problem for them. I also offer a very robust identity theft program where licensed private investigators do the work to restore you rather than you trying to figure it out yourself. And those
Perfect.
programs are Legal Shield and ID Shield.
And where are you located, Estella?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio, in the
Columbus.
northern, northeastern part of Columbus.
Okay, perfect. Perfect, perfect. Sherry, how about you? I know you don't have your camera on. Can you unmute and tell us where you're coming to us from and what you do? She might be at a place where she's listening in. All right, Christy, how about you?
I'm Christy Hawkins, and I am coming to you from Newark, Ohio, as well, because almost It'll be 2 years in August. My grandmother fell, and so I moved in with her to take care of her. She'll be 98 in May.
Wow.
And yeah, she still lives in, I mean, she's lived in this house for 50 years. She just needed someone to help out a little bit. So as far as what I'm offering the world right now, it's not a whole lot. But what I am doing, and I feel guilty probably saying this, I am trying to prepare for when my assignment here is done.
Okay, well, I get that. And you know
Yeah.
what? I've taken care of parents as well. And just know, for me, I wouldn't want to do it again, but I wouldn't have missed it for the world. It
Both
it it's
things that
this
you just said. Yep.
So kudos to you for doing that. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. That's a labor of love. I understand.
Yeah, it's something.
Yes. Well, we're all there with you, Christy. We understand.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Maria, how about you?
Okay. Hi, my name is Maria Jackson, and I actually live in Ohio as well, but I'm
Okay.
closer to the Dayton area. I
Okay.
am a life coach that's certified in transformation and rational emotive behavior therapy.
Oh.
So it's very interesting because it's more of my background as far as the way my brain works and, of course, my life experience. But my proposition statement is that I help women in a giver role with codependency so that they can reclaim their life and build a better future.
Maria, I love that. Thank you so much for being on with us today. And yeah, so we're excited to hear more about what it is that you do and how you do it. So thank you so much. Tony, how about you?
Thank you.
I don't know if Tony is at a place where he can unmute and
Yeah,
share with us.
I can unmute. I'm trying to multitask here, so remind me of the question. Sorry, I heard her briefly.
Yes, again, we're just going around asking where you're coming to us from and what is it that what message are you bringing to the world?
I am from Nashville, Tennessee, or just south of Nashville, native Nashvilleian, as they say. We have so many people moving in here. I'm kind of like the unicorn in the room usually. So I was in a group this morning of like 10 men. I was the only one from Nashville. But yeah, it's been good. So I used to work with a guy named Dave Ramsey, if you
Yes.
know who he is. Yeah, I was on his board of directors. Brought him into the digital age, which was no minor feat when you're trying to bring a non-digital guy into the digital world. And so now I have my own book, my own podcast, which are about money. And then I do some business coaching and some mastermind trainings and stuff like that. So I haven't done a great job of monetizing my own brand yet. I've been really
Okay.
busy working to build it and done a pretty good job of that with my background, but haven't done the best job of monetizing it. So that's what I'm trying to break into.
We're going to help you do that today, Tony. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate you. And welcome, Nashville is in the house. I love that. Nashville's one of my favorite cities, by the way. How about Jay? Jay, tell us where you're coming to us from and what message you're bringing to the world. Did we lose Jay? It looks like Jay may have disappeared. All right. Nicole, how about you?
Hello. Hi, I'm Nicole. Nicole Durr. I'm coming from Cleveland, outside of Cleveland,
Okay.
Ohio. And I have been a trusted advisor to small and medium-sized companies for about 15 years. Together, we build and implement strategic growth plans for their organizations. So
Okay.
I partner with leaders who want to grow their organizations through innovative products, scalable cooperative, and people-first business practices.
Now,
And
do you work for a larger company or is this your own company?
I was recently laid off.
Okay.
I've been running a side hustle for about 2 years and trying to make this my full-time hustle. So looking for another client too.
Okay, very good. Nicole, thank you so much for being with us. Jay, how about you? I don't know if Jay can hear us. Jay, can you unmute and tell us a little bit about yourself? All right, let's jump over to Ruth.
Hi, everyone. Oop, I turned my camera on and then turned it off. I live in Kansas, so I'm what, the unicorn or the one that's out of the L? I have roots in Ohio through my mom, but I live in Kansas now. And my sweet spot is helping people take their relationships to the next level. And it can be personal relationships. It can be professional relationships. In fact, I'm currently developing a program that focuses on leadership, but from the inside out, with the individual first.
Very nice. I know Ruth personally. Trust me, you want to connect. Thank you for that. Jay, I don't know if you can still hear us, or Debbie. Debbie said she was having some problems with her system today. Don't know if Jay can still hear us. But Elena, how about you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for having me. I'm originally from Taiwan, so English is my second language. Sorry about this.
Oh, no, your English is better than mine, trust me.
So I live in Europe, a small country called Malta. I don't know how many people know this country.
I actually do not. Where is that?
It's in the south of Sicily.
Okay.
It's a very small island country. We moved to Malta just last year from Italy because my husband is Italian.
Okay.
Yeah. We moved to Malta because Malta is a bilingual country and English is one of the official languages. Yeah. And we want our child can learn English almost like a native speaker. So we moved to Malta for this purpose. Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm a Chinese teacher. I teach Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's Taiwanese Mandarin. It's a little bit different from Chinese Mandarin because we use traditional Chinese characters. So it's it's more complicated than Chinese people that use simplified Chinese characters. Yeah, so I am teaching Chinese to people who are interested in learning Taiwanese Mandarin. And I have, I'm also a podcaster.
Okay.
Chinese learning podcast, but it's not in English. Most of my students are Korean people, South Korean people. So I teach Chinese to South Korean people and I use Korean language. And I am going to extend this niche to a global niche. Yeah. So I'm preparing this another podcast, and also I will become a YouTuber soon on May to promote my e-learning website, e-learning platform. So before I have taught one-on-one session and small group sessions, but I taught too much,
too many hours.
Too many hours. Really,
yes.
I was totally burned out, and I decided to change my way. So I don't teach one-on-one or group sessions anymore. I changed to only sell pre-recorded online courses. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you are in the right place. So you just need to get on some podcasts that can promote what it is that you do. So Alina, thank you so much for being with us. And Ruth, you thought you were the furthest one out. I think Elena wins this one. Mark and I just spent November in Italy, but we did not get out to Sicily or to your tiny little island. I'll have to make note where that is. So, Alina, thank you so much for being with us. Elise, how about you?
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I would love to be on camera, but I just got back from a 10-hour trip into Virginia coaching volleyball, and I caught the flu. So, So
that's why you're hiding from us today.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would love to be hiding from the stinking flu right now, but but it's wonderful to meet you. My name is Elise. I am coming to you from Reynoldsburg, Ohio. So in between Newark, Canal Winchester and Columbus, so kind of in the midst of that. And I am an executive publishing assistant who helps creatives to orchestrate the mundane so they can focus on the money. And that just means that I assist people with building their websites and their courses, as well as their sales funnel. And coming up this April, on April 1st, I'll be giving away another website. I just gave away a website on March 1st. So super excited about that. Thanks for having me.
Very nice. I love it. I love it. Thank you. Now, who did I miss? Sherry, did you get a chance to come on? And Debbie. And did I miss anybody else?
Jay.
Oh, and Jay. Jay, did you want to share? Sherry, how about you?
Hello, Kathy. I was struggling to get on Zoom today.
Oh, okay. We have you on twice. You're on the screen twice, but that's okay.
That is part of why I am concerned, because I don't know why I'm on twice. I should only be on once.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure either. She's going to be rejoining us as a panelist, so maybe she can tap in and chat with us here. So just don't even worry about the other one that shows up there. You're not getting any reverb, so I think you're okay. So go ahead, Sherry. There she is.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I'm on there twice. So whoever is hacking me, I'd like to figure out how you got to do that. So so I believe somebody's hacking me today, but I don't know how and why. But anyway, so I help teachers, occupational therapists, reinvent the 21st century classroom by helping them understand the tell me about method and focus triggers, which enhance the learning process of students.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Now, Sherry, you're about, what, an hour out of New York City?
Oh, no, three.
Oh, 3 hours out. Okay. Yeah. Okay. My goal is...
Half an hour from Allentown, west of Allentown. Okay.
My goal is the next time I go to New York, which I love New York City, for those of you that maybe love the big city, my goal is to try to go by way of Sherry. So that's the plan. Yeah.
So I'm trying to get her to convince her to have Mark fly her to the Reading Airport, and then we'll go in the Tahoe from there.
I love it. I love it. All right. Anyone else that I missed? Don't know if Debbie can still jump on. Debbie was having problems and haven't heard from Jay. Did I miss anyone else? All right. I want to go through... So bear with me here. I'm going to share my screen just a moment. I want you to see where to find everything that has to do with this meetup. First of all, if you go to the Kathy Binner International Academy, you will find my homepage. You can also do just kathybinner.com, and that'll also get you to my homepage. And I have to move our faces around here a little bit, so you have to bear with me as I move us around. Here is... the entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. This is the group that we're in today. And now I can see the bar here. See if I can move that out of the way. So here is where we are today. And here is the course. And so what I'm doing as I go through these meetups is I'm just basically going through the course. And my computer's slow today too. So maybe there's gremlins out here today. I don't know what's going on. because I'm a little slow here too. It should have already clicked over and it's up here spinning around. Hasn't clicked yet. Maybe it's my computer that's causing the problem. I don't know.
I don't know that that's necessarily true. I was on another Zoom earlier today and one of my computers just went into circling.
Yeah.
But my other one was fine and my phone was fine. So I don't know what's going on. I thought that was really strange.
Yeah, it's not clicking over. It's, as you can see, it's having a hard time loading the page. So I may not get to the program that I wanted to get to. And so I have another way to get there by finding my documents, because my course, as I teach, is keep everything in, I don't have it there, is to keep everything in your documents. So we are going to, yeah, it says a server error, so it's not going to go there. So we're going to come here. We're talking about building relationships with influencers through serving. Now, our objective is for you to actually learn how to do this process. So you have to understand the concept. So the first thing is define that serving is selling. And here's what I want to say. When I first wanted to borrow someone else's audience, I ran across this gal, and I'll use her as an example. I ran across this gal named Wendy, and she was on Clubhouse, and she had this amazing, and I'll stop sharing so I can tell you my story. She had this amazing audience on Clubhouse, and she would be on every morning at 8 a.m. And so I loved her heart. I loved her message. I loved her audience. And so I just started showing up. Okay. So that's step number one, just show up. Show up when you find someone else that has your audience, whether you're going to show up on the internet or whether you're going to show up in person to their events. It's however you want to show up. And so just show up. I started showing up, and every time she would ask me to make a comment, on her Clubhouse, I would do so. And I was never real salesy. I never jumped in and said, oh, buy my stuff. I'm glad I'm here. And here's what I have. Please buy my stuff. I would always uplift her and help her sell her stuff. Okay. Are you catching this? This is the first thing. Show up and help the person, whoever it is, that this influencer that you're going to follow, help them sell their stuff and they will notice. And so once I started helping her sell her stuff, then one day she says to me, quite out of the blue in my mind, she says to me, I can't be here next week and I need somebody to basically take over my Clubhouse room and facilitate the Clubhouse call. Kathy, will you facilitate my Clubhouse room for me? So you see what she did? She just gave me her whole audience. She let me borrow her entire audience. And so I was able to bring value to the call without being salesy, because remember, the first thing that you're going to do on a Clubhouse, and again, this is for folks, you may have never visited Clubhouse. So if you've not been into Clubhouse, I get it. But you want to link your Instagram over to your Clubhouse if you're on Clubhouse. But if you're in Instagram, you have that little profile. If you're on Facebook, you've got that little profile. Trust me, folks that are interested in what you have to say, and they're hearing your heart, not your words, when folks are interested in what you have to say, they'll click on your profile. Okay? So rule number one is just to show up. And then serve that influencer, helping them sell their products, not you selling your products. So you want to show up and serve without expecting anything in return. However, because folks will click on your profile, they will search you out. Go make sure that stuff is updated. How many times have I clicked on somebody that I've either seen on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and the only thing that comes up right away is maybe their LinkedIn, and it is so outdated. one of my co-mods, and I preach to him all the time, and I'll talk about him because I've told this to him personally. He's a mortgage broker, and he's in my real estate group, and he is my co-mod for my podcast, and his LinkedIn page has his old mortgage company on it. I'm like, what? Fix that. And he keeps going, yeah, I know, I need to get around to that. So I'm telling you, get around to it. Fix that. Because if you're trying to put your message out there, make sure that all of those areas are current and updated so that when folks click on you, they can actually find you. And I do have a podcast. And so I'm constantly trying to loan out my audience to different authors in my authors group. And when I try to research my authors to find out a little bit about them, they don't have a media kit. They don't have information online. They don't have a website that's been updated. They just don't have that information. And that's what we're talking about with building a better business. And that's why I said earlier, it's so hard to know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. You think, okay, do I have to have all my products and everything fine-tuned? And then I start serving, or do I start serving? And it's okay to be messy, but it kind of all works together. So as you find something that's broken in your business, whether it be you don't have your LinkedIn updated, you don't have your profile on your Facebook page updated, you don't have a way for folks to get in touch with you, once you find something that's missing, go fix that. Go fix that thing and just keep polishing it until it just gets better and better and better. I've watched Sherry over the years polish hers. Sherry and Linda and Debbie and Ruth, they've all watched me polish mine, and Estella, they've all watched me polish mine over the years and get more direct and more precise. And that's what I'm saying you need to do. You're not going to sit behind the scenes in a back room and say, when my business is perfect and when I've got the perfect website, the perfect products, the perfect this, you know, and I look perfect and I know all my, that's when I'm going to launch. Because you know what? You'll never do it. You'll never get around to it. So start with what you have. It's okay. It's okay to be a little messy. And so that, I suppose, is the other point to what I want to make today. Don't start with some big full menu of all these products and services. You may have a dream of all this stuff that you want to offer, but start with just one thing that you can polish, that one thing, so that when you do go out there, that one thing looks like you've put some effort into it. So anyway, now here I am on Wendy's Clubhouse call. She asked me to be her facilitator, her moderator. I ended up doing that for her. And my whole first year, and here's what I want to tell you guys, because remember I said, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? I also was trying to get this podcast going so that folks would get to know, like, and trust me. And I needed to, and here's the key. Here's your big aha for the day. I needed to borrow their audience as much as they needed to borrow mine. Okay. I needed to borrow their audience as much as they needed to borrow mine. And so my whole first year of my podcast, where I was wanting to interview authors, I ended up finding most of those folks out of that Clubhouse room. Out of Wendy's Clubhouse room, because they were all entrepreneurial. They were, you know, that's where my mind was. And they wanted to elevate their audience. I wanted to elevate my audience. And so, long story short, they wanted to borrow my podcast and I needed to borrow their podcast. And so it was a great relationship. So then I made the venue that could happen, which was a podcast. Now, all I did is a Zoom call, just like this. I just did a Zoom call and brought them on and did an interview. And then I saved the link. I saved the Zoom call link. And once I saved it, I uploaded it into Vimeo. I uploaded it into YouTube. Now I had replays. So now I could start marketing that interview, that podcast. So I uploaded it into an actual podcast platform. And many of us on this call, we have podcasts. So I uploaded it into podcast platform. And for those of you that either know or don't know, I will share that once you upload into an actual podcast platform, the podcast platform shares your podcast with other podcast platforms. And oftentimes you can choose when you set up your podcast, what other podcast you want to share that with. But all of a sudden, my podcast was on 8 different podcast channels and on YouTube and on Vimeo. And all of a sudden, I was getting some mileage. But guess what? So were they. Because that was the person I interviewed. So now they're advertising it to their audience. Hey, listen to me in this interview. And all of their audience now sees me. And all of my audience now sees them. And again, I was just serving them. I wasn't expecting to get anything in return, but I wanted to serve them. So to take it a step further, because my word for this year is giving and serving. And so to take it a step further, I created a speaker's cabinet. And for everyone that comes onto my podcast, I automatically give them a free spot on my speaker's cabinet to help promote them as well. And so all of a sudden, folks are starting to tap into my speaker's cabinet and pick up those speakers because it has a little bio about them. And I put that all together. But on my part, it turns into somewhat of a labor of love because a lot of these folks didn't have a lot of internet presence. And so that's what I'm telling you. You have to get started with some form of internet presence because I don't know about you, but every time you're looking for a topic, and you Google it, and I'll say Google it, but it's whatever search engine you're using. When you search for something on the internet, all of these blog posts come up. All of these magazine articles come up. All of these YouTube videos come up, whatever it is that you're searching for. And if you're not out there, guess what? Nobody's going to find you if you're not there. And I know that sounds overwhelming, but here is the key. And here's your second aha moment for the day. Consistency. That's the word for the day, is consistency. If you just put it on your calendar that you're going to do a podcast once a month, you're going to blog once a month. Everybody can blog once a month. Everybody can do a Zoom call with their best friend and turn it into a little interview and post it on YouTube. And boom, you've got a podcast. You don't have to have all the fancy bells and whistles. If you just had a YouTube channel, you know, every 13-year-old has a YouTube channel. If you just had a YouTube channel and you're just interviewing your closest friends, if we just interviewed each other that's on this call today, look at the leverage that we could have with each other's audiences. If we just did the 14 folks that are here right now, if that's all we did, we would have a tremendous amount of leverage. But you say, oh, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to do that. Well, that again, what comes first? You have to polish off one product, whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be a major product. Maybe you're just giving away a PDF on how to do something. It could be something that simple. And you could go out on podcast and say, I want to give everybody, you know, this PDF downloadable form. You could do that right over in your Google Docs and make a downloadable PDF and have a link to that PDF. And all of a sudden, you've got a product. And that's all you had to do. With today's technology, you could write a little ebook. And it doesn't have to be a hardcover that, you know, or a paperback tangible book. It could be an electronic book. And I've written several. And I put those on my website. I put those out there, to click through and get a little electronic ebook. So there's all kinds of ways that you can do that. Tony says you make it sound so easy. I think we get it too complicated, Tony. And here's what I think happens. I think that we see some of these other businesses that are so polished and produced. And they've got a whole team behind them. You know, you've got the big John Maxwells, you know, you got the big Tony Robbins, you've got the big Oprahs, you've got all of those kinds of programs that are so polished. And we think, oh, why am I even going to try? But you know what? I don't really connect to those. Yeah, he says, yep, I was leading one of those teams. I get it. Sometimes I don't connect to those groups. And here's why. Number one, they're too expensive. And so I don't want to spend $3,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 to be in some mastermind or more. You know, there are some that are more. You get that. Some of those are just too expensive. So I catch myself not participating with those organizations. So they just seem like they're out there somewhere, but yet I never really connect with them. And the other thing is I feel like they're too far ahead of me. I feel like they're so polished and they're so far ahead of me. You know, they've got the sales funnels and they're, you know, and they're doing, and I'm thinking that just seems, you know, when you're first getting started, all of that just seems totally too far ahead, too big of a leap to issue your first product to be this polished with sales funnels and all of that. And there's a certain amount of the population that just is a total turnoff. They're just, you know, and I don't know about you, but even when you're on your television set and you're scrolling around and you come past an infomercial, how many of you sit there and watch an infomercial? Most of us are probably going to scroll right past it because we're like, oh, they're going to sell me something. Yeah, skip, you know, and that's how folks start to feel. There is so much of that out there that's how folks are starting to feel on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. And I don't know about you, but if you're on LinkedIn, oh my gosh, I probably get 30, 40 messages a day. And basically what they're saying is, hey, we saw you on LinkedIn. Can we sell you something? And I'm like, delete, 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 delete. So you don't want to be that person. And that's why you just have to brush off what you have, make it something that's relevant, make it a price point. You have to reverse engineer that. You have to decide who is my audience going to be. And then let me reverse engineer a product that they want. You have to enter the conversation in their minds. And what product do they want? At what price point can they afford it? Because here is what I'm telling you. With my products, I just have a $25 membership fee for my entire academy. That's my big product. And everything that I'm doing, I put into my academy. Elena, this might be good for you. You're doing all your stuff on a platform where it's just, you know, folks are just going to tap into your pre-recorded stuff. I have a membership site, and just join the membership site. You can have access to everything, all the replays, as long as you want, as much as you want, tap in and out as much as you want. And so by doing that, here is my motto, is that the folks that need it the most can afford it the least. And so I wanted to create that type of a price point where just about everyone can afford that. Now, you say, okay, $25 may not be anything to you, but it may be. Maybe you think, okay, $25 every month, let's multiply that out. Do I really want to spend that kind of money? I then turn around and created a whole giving page where I even give away scholarships to the program. Because again, I'm all about the giving and the serving, and I don't worry about the bottom line at the other end. And I am a huge believer in the law of reciprocity, that whatever you give, you get. And so the more I give, the more memberships I seem to get. And I'm not trying to pound that round peg into the square hole anymore. You know, it just happens. And for those of you that are more into, I've got a whole health and wellness lane in my academy. And so I interview a lot of folks that are into, you know, vibrations and gratitudes and how all of that just increases your vibration level in the world. I'm a student of that. I will say that. And so the more that I put myself in that position of relaxing into my business and just doing my very best and serving without expecting anything in return, my business just seems to take on a life of its own, and it grows in the direction that it needs to be growing. So anyway, that's my spiel on serving is selling. You can come alongside any guru out there, and all of a sudden you'll find doors opening for you that you never realized. Now, I want to use Linda as an example. I asked her earlier if I could use her as an example. Linda started just tapping in to these calls, And I got to know her. I got to know everything about what she represented. I got to know her heart. I understood her message and what she was bringing to the world. And so as we were putting together products and services, one of our products is how to create a 5-day mastermind or a 5-day or any type of a masterclass. You know, there's, you've seen those out there. You know, you scroll around on Facebook and you'll see Tap In, and, you know, and sometimes they're free and sometimes they're depending on the price point. And sometimes it's their big ticket. And we talk all about that as this call unfolds over the months. But anyway, Linda put together a 5-session on her message. And because I believe in her, I asked her if she would come along and actually present that to our group. And she's presented the first two. Am I correct, Linda? This is your third session. So today is going to be her third session of her message to the world. And so I just wanted folks to know that that's how it works. So not only then, as she gets into this and records, will she invite me into her program so that we can share audiences, but I invite her into my program so that we can share audiences. And that is the whole point, is that you're borrowing someone else's audience when you're serving. And so Linda is here to serve us today. And it's a great message. And at this point, I want to turn it over to Linda and let her tell you a little bit about her message. So everybody stay tuned. If you have questions, stay on. After Linda is finished, I will open it up to just questions from anybody that wants to hang in to the very end. You can ask me any question. I'll stop the recording at that point and we can just chat if you want. But in the meantime, you can reach me and I'll put it in the chat, just kathybenner.com. And that is how you can find all of my programs and a way to connect with me. And I wanted to show you my link tree, but my computer is kind of slow today, so I don't think I'll get to do that. So I'm not going to, I won't share my screen and go back to that, because I don't think we're going to get to do that today with whatever's going on with the internet. Debbie was having trouble. Maybe it's something local. I don't know. Estella was having trouble. We're all in the Columbus, Ohio area. So maybe there's something going on here. Anyway, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Linda. And Linda, tell us a little bit about your message and go on with your session 3.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. let's see. I'm just getting over a cold, so I may clear my throat a few times more than usual. This challenge was designed to help people get some good insights and some actionable first steps that they could take. I actually ran this in its entirety in February, and it was called the Show Your Love 5-Day Valentine's Challenge. And we had a really wonderful time. So much engagement. Couldn't have asked for better people. People attended on different days, depending on their schedule, but it was really, really wonderful. And so for those of you who weren't here for the previous two sessions that we've done here, in the day one material, we just basically talked about why this matters, why getting some kind of an end of life plan together is so important as a gift to your loved ones. And then in day two, we started into the preserve section of my framework, where we talked about gathering all of your information about your accounts, your policies, your beneficiaries, your titles, your deeds. And it can be a lot. And so we also spend a little bit of time talking about your digital assets, those things that are in the cloud. And that topic tends to be a real eye-opener for those of us who are content creators, podcast hosts, bloggers, folks that have a website, any kind of online presence, even your down to your email and your social media. There's a lot of vulnerability there if you don't know what to do to protect that. And we spent a little time talking about that. And so I wanted to
Linda, I want to jump in and ask you, tell them, because we've got some new folks on the call today, tell them just briefly your background story as to why you even decided, because a lot of the folks on this call, they're trying to figure out how to put together a product. And we talked about early on your VPS, your value proposition statement, like what it is that you're offering to the world. You know, my name is, and here's what I do for whom. But then your story is your marketing. And a lot of the folks on this call has not heard your story, and maybe the shortened version, because I know you want to get on with your presentation. And then your serving is your selling. So we know what Linda is bringing to the world. But we haven't all heard her marketing, which is her storytelling. Now, keep in mind, once you hear this, and here's your third aha moment for the day. Once you hear her story, you will be leaning in instead of leaning out. And so will all your listeners and viewers and your audience when they hear your story. So make sure that you include your story. Linda?
Okay, sure. So yeah, those of you that don't know me might be like, okay, so who is this lady and what does she know about anything? And fair question. So I come from 30 plus years in brick and mortar business. So I've done all the things, using computers, working with the public, organizing, training, all the stuff, and working with physical inventory. And thankfully, I'm no longer dealing with physical inventory. Never go back. That's just me. But for some years, I was in business with my husband, and he had a lifelong chronic disease that was progressively getting worse and taking more and more parts of his body as time went on. So net, we basically padlocked the door to our business, and I became a full-time caregiver, and I mean round the clock, not just all the days, all the hours. And so we managed to get, you know, wills and powers of attorney and those kinds of things in place, but that was it. And in our business, he had so much of the information of our business in his mind, and he had a mind like a steel trap, but his body was failing, and it was failing fast, and we were running out of time to capture the things that he knew about, things that we had on hand, agreements that he had made with other people. And I had no time because I was literally trying to keep him alive every minute of every day. So that is one part of trying to beat the clock that was extremely hard. And I did ultimately lose him. And you know, there was a lot of mopping up because so much of it went to the grave with him. And then I punched a time clock for several businesses for a while after that, as I tried to get my feet under me, and decided I didn't care for that. So I began speaking and coaching at every opportunity. And a particular coaching relationship that I had was really pivotal, because it was an older woman who was 78, who still had a fire in her belly and a mission to serve particular niches in the world. She had a real passion for women, women who were in mentally abusive relationships, women who were being sex trafficked. And she had done public speaking and writing. And so when she came on board with me, she had just parted ways with her virtual assistant. And there were a lot of things that fell through the cracks in the handoff back to my client, so that a lot of her passwords didn't work. A lot of her intellectual property could not be found or accessed. And she was an Apple user. She couldn't even log in as an Apple user. She couldn't add a program. She was just hogtied in every way. And she had a lifelong illness that was, you know, from birth. And it was getting worse. And as time went on, her her energy, ability to focus, and everything were really waning. Plus, she was not a digital native, of course. And so I felt like I was in a race against time to try to help her get her digital affairs in order, because I knew that her adult children would completely lose access to all the wonderful things that mom had done. And it
was are we leaning in yet? you see why her message is so important? Go ahead, Linda.
Thanks. It was heartrending for me, because I could only work as fast as she was capable of, and with her health considerations and her limitations as a non-digital native, we were trying to run in the deep end of the pool all the time. So with everything that happened with my husband and everything that happened with his client, it was just becoming so urgent to me that, like, there were so many things people needed to know that they didn't know. And I just started writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing and writing, and it ended up being a course. So that is how the Legacy of Love Project got started.
Wow. So you can see her storytelling, and again, I'm kind of pulling back the curtain here a little bit, because of all of us on this call, we're trying to learn how to create our products and services. Not only did you see how she created her product, but you saw why she created her product. And the fact that she tells her story, that becomes her marketing. That is what makes all of us want to lean in, because just like Christy taking care of elderly family member, all of us have been or will be in that boat at some point. And what about our stuff? What about the stuff that we're creating? What about, do we have our affairs in order? And have we systematized? And again, that's a big thing that I teach a lot in my academy, is systematize as much of everything that you can, because you want to create a position, not a person. And even in our families, oftentimes, well, my mom handles that, or my brother handles that, or my dad always takes care of that. And all of a sudden, the job is a person. It's not a position. And you don't want that to happen in your business. You want to be able for anyone to pick up your book, your notebook, and it'll have the steps on how to handle that position. It doesn't rely on a particular person. And that's kind of what we're talking about. And so Linda is going to share her third session on how you can create this position in your life and in your business to handle all these things very systematically. Linda, go ahead.
Okay. Well, that is a great segue, actually, to some of the things we're going to talk about today. So I wanted to mention, and you're probably getting the idea, that there is a lot at stake here. There just is. There's our stress that's beating us to death. If we leave it undone, we've got guilt and all the things, self-recrimination. Our family has all kinds of stress as they look forward to our passing, especially the older we are. Our adult children may be worrying about what's going to land on their heads if we don't get our stuff together in anticipation and to protect them. Our estate can be reduced by our loved ones not knowing our wishes, and therefore they may spend more at the time of the funeral and all the things than they need to. And that, you know, your heart was to leave as much as possible for them, and that can be undone by not leaving your wishes for them. And as things that we'll be talking about later in this challenge, if we don't gather our traditions and our stories and all of that, not only our immediate family, but future generations will be the poorer, because they didn't get to learn about us, what we stood for, all the wonderful things that we did, whether it was woodworking or wonderful cooking or whatever it might have been. Those who come after us will be the poorer if we don't take the time now to capture that and leave it behind for them. So the middle section of what I teach in my course is design. Last session was preserve, this is design. And this involves designing both what you want for plans when you pass in the way of your funeral, memorial, and those things, but also designing a smoother transition into the new normal for those that you leave behind. So let's go to this, the part of what happens when you're going to pass. Well, an obituary would be a tremendous thing for you to have written for your loved ones to make it easier for them. And those of us who have been in the professional development world for a while may have encountered writing an obituary as a personal development tool, because you can actually grow by looking forward to what you'd like to have said about you at that time, and then seeking to grow into and become that person. So there are benefits for you in the here and now, and benefits for your family by gathering together all those details so that they're not in a mad scramble to try to remember. Because let's face it, when they're under duress at that time, they're not going to remember all your social organizations and all your different accolades and awards. And there's going to be a bunch of stuff that falls through the cracks. We had a family friend from church who was a deacon for years in this church, and his adult children forgot to put that in his obituary. What kind of a central point for that person's life? So you can't count on your loved ones to get all the details right. They're under too much strain at that time. So in addition to the obituary, something that you might want to consider before even the idea of a funeral, and especially if you have a physical or mental issue where you can see the decline coming, you might want to consider having a living funeral, which is a really beautiful thing to do. One great example of this is described in the book Tuesdays with Maury by Mitch Albom. His last name is Albom. And Maury was a college professor of Mitch's, and they maintained a relationship over the years. And Maury had an illness where it was going to be a slow decline and the end was known. And he went ahead and had a living funeral. And what's great about that is, instead of people coming and saying great things about you over your casket and you're not there anymore, why not have a wonderful personal experience? Let them show their love for you and let you receive it while you're still here. It's really a great thing to consider if you'd like to do that. Then of course there is the traditional funeral, which we've grown up with. That was the only way things were done as we were coming up. But something to be aware of, and if you do your planning, you can help your family avoid some of the upsells and pressure that they may encounter. And some of the, maybe infighting is too strong a word, but if you have multiple siblings or even just one adult child, if they don't know your wishes, they're going to feel a strong desire to spend more out of their love and respect for you. And if you have multiple children, there may be big squabbles or worse that could happen, even rifts among the children, because one may say, you know, mom would have wanted more of the money to go into what she gave us. And then others would be like, well, I want to honor mom, so we need the more expensive casket, we need the fancy coverlet, we need thousands of dollars worth of flowers because mom was everything, and we want to show our love for her. And there's actually a word for that. It's called relational spending, where people spend more because of their relationship with you. So if you want to make sure that more of the money that goes to your heirs, or that it is spent a certain way, this is when you need to put your wishes into writing right now. Okay. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but you can even buy your casket from a third-party vendor. You don't have to buy it from your funeral director. I'm sure they try to keep that pretty much on the QT, but there's something called the funeral rule that was passed in Congress, it has to do with the FTC. Originally was passed in 1984 and then was revised again in 1994. So they kind of pried the control of the funeral process from being solely in the hands of funeral directors. You do have more options than you may be aware of. So I'm going to just spend a moment speaking about a particular funeral that I'm aware of. A friend of mine had her college-age daughter die suddenly. She was like age 21, 22. Nobody saw it coming. She was fit. She was a soccer player at the college level. And all of a sudden, she passed away. And I've always said that when the person passing has a long and chronic illness, it's easier for the family because they've had a chance to accept what's coming, but it's very hard for the person, the patient. When someone dies suddenly, like from a heart attack, a car accident, they're kind of blessed because they didn't suffer long, but the family has like no way of coping with it. It's just so sudden, they can't come to grips. So this particular family, there they were. The daughter was suddenly dead when she had all of her life ahead of her. And the way that they did the funeral was really beautiful. They had her in an all-white casket, and then they had some colorful decals put at various places all over it. And then if you think back to when you were in junior high and people would write on somebody's cast on their arm or their leg, people went up with colorful Sharpie markers and wrote messages all over the casket. It was really beautiful. So you can be as inventive and as personalized as you would like to be. And if anybody would like to see the video about this young gal, her name's Ashley, on my links page, there's a video that describes her story. I'm actually going to copy this link to my links page and just drop this in. And I need to make sure I'm pointing at everyone. Do I want hosts and panelists, or do I want everyone, Kathy? Everyone? I think everyone.
Yeah, everyone, because we have four that are over in the guest area still that declined to come up.
Cool. So I dropped that in the chat. Hopefully everyone will be able to see that. And that's a place where you can find out all the things that I'm doing, all the things. So I'll just say you have so many options when it comes to funerals. Definitely go whatever direction you would like. And so now in this day and age, in addition to funerals, many people are opting for cremation. Lower cost, you don't have to find a burial site, or you could bury the ashes. And so one nice thing about choosing the cremation is you can handle that right away, or your family can handle it right away while, you know, they're still a little bit overwhelmed, but they could schedule out a memorial to a later date, like say a month out or whatever works. And that can allow people to come in from out of state. It can allow the family to just kind of settle a bit after all that has gone on. So, and you can plan your own memorial to whatever level you would like, and you can fund it if you have that ability, and that can help remove some stress and strain from the family at that time. So, and there are a number of really cool things that I suggest in my course that people can do to bless their families around this time, but for reasons of respecting the time of everyone, I won't go into those. And then I do want to just mention one other thing, which is your ability to design a plan to ease your family into that new normal after you're no longer here. And this can include things like passwords, having the contact information for all the service providers that would be part of daily living. You know, who does your HVAC repairs? Who do you take the car to? Who's the orthodontist for the kids? Any number of things that having all, because I think, Kathy, at the beginning of the conversation, we were talking about kind of a division of labor. This person handles this and that person handles the other. And so you want to make sure that there isn't a giant void when mm-hmm. you pass. There will be a void because you won't be there, but you don't want a void of information where they don't even know how to carry on. I heard of a young family, the husband and wife were about 40. The wife passed away with cancer. The kids had braces and the dad didn't even know who the orthodontist was. And the kids didn't, cause kids are kids. So it's the kind of thing nobody sees coming. But if you can spend a little time with forethought now, you can make a huge difference. Another thing would be making sure that either your spouse, your adult children, your executor, or whomever will be able to pay the utilities. Like if your house needs to go up for sale, they need to keep the lights and the heat on until that can be done. So there are so many details, even like the password for the front door box on the front of your house, if you have that kind of a system, you know, and tips for like what to do when if your gas furnace tends to blow out a pilot light at certain times with certain kinds of storms. You were the one that knew how to do that. Write down those kinds of tips. That weird thing your car does, that weird thing your computer does. Make some notes that will truly help them to not be just stuck. They're already going to be totally missing you, totally feeling the need of having you there in person, but at least make some things smoother and easier for them. And by you taking the time and effort and forethought in love, you can make such a difference for what their experience will be. So I think I'll just pause there and let you know that on day 4 next month, we'll be talking about bestow, and that'll be about giving and all different kinds of ways that you can give that you can plan now for. So back to you, Kathy.
Wow, Linda, I've got some work to do. So you can see how important it is, but you see, again, for those of you that are on this call, you realize by her telling her story, not only did it bring credibility to her product and service that she's offering, but it allowed you to connect with her in a deeper way that you wanted to listen to what she had to say, because you realize she gets it. She's been there. She's walked that road. And she just didn't pick a topic off of a shelf somewhere and decide to create a product about it to make some money. She actually, this is a passion, and you get that by hearing her story. And that's why your storytelling is so important. I want to open it up to questions. So we're going to go around, and I'm going to ask you, what was your number one aha moment today? And then what is your comment or question? And I don't want to put you on the spot, Estella, but we're going to start with Estella to tell us her aha moment and what is her comment or question.
Well, one of the things that you said was we must have systematized things so that we create a position and not a person. I absolutely love that. I'm going to play with that.
Okay.
I think that can be expanded into some things that I'm doing.
Yes.
And then Linda blows me away because she just brings out so much information. I'm like, oh my God, I'm under the bucket. I gotta get out from under the bucket.
I get it.
You just don't even hardly, you know, think of. And I really appreciate your having her share her story, because there's so much credibility there, mm-hmm. and trust that it's like, oh, she knows what to do and she can help me. You know, I mean, if a heart surgeon is going to do work on you, you don't want someone that's been doing it a year. You want someone that's been doing it 15. Unless
you want someone that has a passion. Yeah. You want somebody that
and
has
her
a passion
is there as well. I mean, I don't even know what to say. I've got a full page, 2 pages of notes, you know, so.
So you see why it's so important to include your story. Your storytelling is your marketing. So, and again, even if it's a product or so, like a heart surgeon, well, maybe he's never had a heart attack, but he has stories. He can tell you about this patient or that patient or why he's passionate about what he does. So your story can be how you've helped other people. If it's not something that has actually happened to you personally, it's just something that you really care about. And so there's all kinds of ways that you can tailor your story. So anyway, just know that your storytelling is your marketing. That's what makes folks want to lean in and listen.
And one thing that she did say, which, you know, I mean, nobody, I've never heard it before. When you have a funeral, you got options.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
Who knew? You know,
because you never, you know, especially if it's your first time going through it, you just feel like you're going to be led around, you know.
Well, you want to be, because you don't even have a clue of what to do. So there needs to be something of these are the things that happened at a funeral. And I mean, yeah, that was a real eye opener for me. So,
yeah, perfect. Thank you, Estella. Now, mm-hmm. Tish, I know you had to step away. Because you had to get back to work. Are you at a place where you can comment an aha moment and a question or a comment? Tish mentioned in the chat that she had to go back to work, so she may not be able to participate. We'll just drag our feet here for a second, see if she unmutes. I don't see her unmuting. Mason, how about you? Did you have an aha moment and a question or a comment?
Not so much the question or comment. The aha moment goes back to the beginning, talking about instead of waiting for perfection and then start, just start, do it. It gets messy, and that helps you add clarity. Because even after all this time, I'm starting to get more clarity on what I want to do. More importantly, that's helped me for how I'm going to combine a couple of things I've been wanting to do that actually makes sense now. So don't underestimate the idea of just trying little things, do little things, make the mistakes, make the mess, realize where it is and say, okay, this is direction. So just to the core, that core fundamental concept is something that kind of stuck with me. That's why I made some notes on it.
Mason, I love that. Absolutely. It's okay to start messy. It's okay. We all did. And clean it up as you go. Yep. Tony, I see that your camera is now on. Tell us, do you have an aha moment and any question or comment?
Yeah, I think I've got several. One, thanks, Linda, for talking so much. I lost my mother-in-law and my mother both in 2016 to cancer. My mother-in-law, we knew it was coming. My mom, it came on real quickly after that. So a month after my mother-in-law died, we found out my mom had cancer. And then I saw the scopes and I told my wife, I called my wife, I said, she's gone by Christmas. And she was, we buried her in November. So just a few months with her. And you never know how fast it's going to go. I mean, I think that kind of woke me up a little bit because a lot of sad stories I could tell. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's got me thinking. My dad's still working full time, 74 years old. Not the type of guy that will listen to me about stuff. He thinks, you know, it's hard, what they call it, powdered butt syndrome.
Amen. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, he loves me and he takes care of me. He's a good dad, but as far as the way of the world and money, that was never their forte. They just kind of survived their life. And, you know, they enjoyed it. They had a good life. But, yeah, so for me, I've got a little bit of the imposter syndrome that I think I've had going on for years. I helped Dave grow from about $3 million to about $125 million. And then I went from leading all of his digital stuff to being on his board of directors the last 4 years and then never planned on getting back into personal finance. But in 2018, wrote my own book called The Millionaire Choice, Whether or Not You Can Choose. And then a few years after that, 2020, launched my podcast. I've done 120 episodes of that. But I'm kind of ashamed because I have not made any money, like significant money, doing this at all. And that's the part where I'm stuck. I'm like, okay, I've done all this. I put all this energy out. I know my brand's good. Everybody tells me my book's good. I wouldn't say it's I don't think it's a rich dad, poor dad level book, but, you know, people do like it. And so I think you guys have given me some hope to go, you know what, I've just got to push through. I've just got to do these last little pieces that need to be done to actually monetize this and turn it into a business. I've got people that call me on a Thursday. They tell me, I found your podcast on Tuesday. I've listened to 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, in 2 or 3 days, I'm like, wow, like, I don't even listen to podcasts like that. So I don't know how you did it, but they do it. And so I know I've got, like you said, like you did, Linda, you offered me a great bit of insight today. So I'm going, okay, I'm not an imposter. I just need to lean out there and put this stuff out there. And 120 videos recorded on podcast, only 14 released. So I just need
to. Can you put the link in our chat so that we can that number?
Yeah, I'll give you two links. I'll link to my website and then I'll link out to the podcast too.
Yeah. And Tony, I would love for you to go to kathybinner.com and schedule a chat with me. I've got a place there where you can click through and schedule a talk. I would like to actually get you on my podcast. I have several lanes and I can, I have an author's lane where we can talk about your book. Of course, you know, again, I have several lanes where I can get you onto a podcast and, that what will happen there is not that I have such a huge audience from maybe what you're used to, but we can chat a little bit about how you can borrow some other folks' audiences.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think for me, something clicked for me last fall and I've just got to push through. I'm doing my first 90-day course. I'm in the middle of doing that with people. It's okay. Being received really, really well. I made about $1,000 from, you know, it's a $500 course. But there's a lot of labor intensive. This is not like a you download it and do it. I mean, I'm in a weekly virtual group coaching people through this stuff. Yeah. And so, but it's been received really well. And I think I'm still refining the product. But yeah, I could use some help getting over the hump.
Yeah. Just know that your audience is already out there. They're just waiting for you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment on the imposter syndrome piece. And it's so interesting that people who are so accomplished and so capable encounter this. And each of us thinks we're the only one, that we're the only, you know, highly limited person, the only screw up, whatever it is we're saying to ourselves. But I think that I don't know how to say this. Oftentimes people who are less capable have a more inflated view of what their capabilities are. And I think the more you know, the more you mm-hmm. know that there's a lot to know. And right. that's why we say, oh, I don't know enough. I'm not ready. Who am I? Because we've had our awareness opened up enough to the point where we realize it's a wide, wide world, a wide universe. And mm-hmm. we know one little smidgen of it, but obviously, you're very accomplished, and the main thing is just to get out of your own way. I wanted to share something that my significant other said to me that was so encouraging. I was seeking to get my challenge, you know, into reality, and I was, you know, sick for a month with whatever was going around, and I kept pushing out my date, and I'm like, oh, I'm the worst. I'm a mess. You know, who am I? All the things. And he comes from years and years of playing football competitively. And he said to me, he's like, I never looked at it that like you were stuck or you were a mess. He said,
He said, I looked at you like a wide receiver. You caught the ball and you were running and you were zigging and zagging, rolling out of holds, eluding capture, and continuing to gain yardage toward the goal line. And I was like, wow, I like the way you're looking at that so much better than the way I've been framing this.
Yeah. Linda, thank you. I love that.
Yeah, just a comment on what you said. My wife was in here a little bit earlier because I asked her to come in and listen to you guys. Because I'm like, hey, you want me to make more money? You better get in here and listen to these ladies talk about this stuff. So she had to step out. But yeah, so I told her, I'm like, man, it's just, you know, it's interesting because I'm like, I've done all this stuff, but yet I have all this lack of confidence in certain areas, or I'm not pushing through. And yet, and I've actually worked with some guys that I'm like, they've done way less, but they are full of all this confidence and they're just out there doing it, you know? And I'm just like, I would never sign up for their programs. And just because of what I've been through. So, yeah. So I think you guys are echoing that. So that affirms me in a lot of ways. Thank you.
By the way, there's a name for that what you were just describing is called the Dunning-Kruger effect. So people who are way less, informed, experienced, knowledgeable, have a very inflated view of where they're at on the scale. And people who are far more advanced have a lower opinion because they perceive how much more there is out there. But yeah, if anybody ever accuses you of being characterized by the Dunning-Kruger effect, that's a big slam.
I should use that on some people.
Yeah. Tony, thank you so much for being with us. We really enjoyed you being on today. I'll mention Tish to see if she can unmute. Let me see. Mason, we've already chatted with you. Sherry, how about you? Any aha moments, comments, or questions? Not sure if Sherry is still with us here. She was on twice and one of hers disappeared, so she may not still be with us. Maria, how about you?
I think I could probably second what Mason was saying in regards to the aha moment being that, you know, just do it messy. Once upon a time, I used to be a perfectionist. And so it's like, I'll redo something. I'm like, okay, this draft isn't good enough. And then I'll redraft it again. It's just like right now I'm in the midst of recording a video that I'm going to post and I'm just going to go back through it and I'm going to maybe slim it a little bit, like cut pieces out just because for some reason, my clicker wasn't working for me to pause it so that I can cut out the fact that I reached up to touch the camera to pause the recording. But outside of that, I'm just going to post it. I'm not going to go back and re-record it. I'm not.
Well, let me say this, Maria. If I really need to know something, I have a burning question, whatever it is, whatever my question is, and I go to YouTube and I go, oh my gosh, here are four YouTubes that have an answer to my question. I don't care whether they reached out to pause the camera. I'm after the answer. So your content is the king. So if your content is good, don't worry about whether you reached out to pause the camera or, you know, like me, I can tell right now today, my significant other, Mark, he changed my office all around and I've got a window on this side and you can tell, see, I've got a whole bunch of sunlight there, but none over here. And so I'm sitting here thinking, oh, I need to fix that before I do any more Zoom calls. But you know what? Content is what's important. It's not important whether I had too much sunshine on one side of my face. So don't get hung up on that. I think Definitely. You're on the right path. Yes. Pull the trigger and get it published.
Yep. I agree. Thank you.
I love that. Alina, how about you? Any aha moments, comment, question?
Yeah, I'm actually same as Maria. I am a perfectionist. And before I mentioned about I'm going to open my YouTube channel, and this was the plan last year, 2023, in April. So I procrastinated for 1 year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Terrible, right? Yeah, I need to do this and I need to publish my first video on May. Yeah, that's my friend. I really appreciate your idea about the don't be too perfect. Just yes. do it. Yeah. That's really good. And I have a question about, can I ask a technical question about
yes.
the membership site?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use Teachable or do you use like a membership plugin on your website? I was curious.
There is a million and one ways that you can do a membership site. There's all kinds of programs out there. I personally use Teachable because I started off at the beginning and as I built out my academy, it made more sense. And Alina, you mentioned you wanted to go international. So let me say this, and this is a little coaching moment for Alina. I wanted to be an international academy. I want to be a world citizen. I want, I don't want to put myself in a box because that's where my heart is. And I want to travel more. And again, being a world citizen is very important to me. And so two things that I did that helps me become that. Sometimes, I'm going to talk to Tony and Mason and folks that maybe haven't launched and Maria that haven't launched everything yet. Sometimes you have to put out to the universe where it is that you want to go and what it is that you want to be before you go there and before you be that. And I'll explain what that means. When I created my academy, I started off by doing teaching modules, and I named my academy the Kathy Benner International Academy. And I put the word international in there on purpose. That was intentional for me because I wanted to be that global citizen and be international. But I had my two best girlfriends from Canal Winchester, Ohio, was my founding members. So there you go. Was I international? I wasn't even out of my city, let alone out of my state, let alone international. But I had to put my intentions out there. And so for all of you that are listening, decide, reverse engineer this, decide where it is to the best of your knowledge. You might tweak it as you get closer, but decide where it is that you want to be. Decide who it is that you want to be. Decide what it is that you want to be. And as you name your products and as you put your stuff out there, put those words in the name. So the first thing for Alina is make sure that you mention something about international or global or something that lets the universe know that how big you want your program to be. So that's my first observation on what you're doing. And secondly, as you're putting it out there, make sure that you have a place to do a backup for everything that you're doing. So for those of you that are doing videos on YouTube, It's all Cheerios until YouTube goes down for some reason, and there goes all your stuff. So have a backup. We've all seen it in the world of technology, and I don't know if any of you follow it on this level, but there was some hacking going on with some big companies, and they were being held hostage, and they were said, you know, the hackers were like, we're going to crash your whole system unless you pay us X amount of dollars. And the reason that I decided to diversify some of my material was when Vimeo, because I chose Vimeo over YouTube. And on a side note, the reason I chose Vimeo is because when a video ends, it keeps your listener or your viewer within the loop of Vimeo. Whereas on YouTube, when it ends, it pops up all their favorite YouTubes because it's trying to keep them on the YouTube channel. And I didn't want somebody that was taking one of my courses that they paid for to be to the end of a video. And then all of a sudden, you know, Dancing with the Stars pops up on their screen or whatever they watched last. So for me, I chose Vimeo. Well, Vimeo was one that got hacked and they chose to pay the hacker to keep everyone's stuff intact. So I was okay. But what if I wasn't? What if for some reason it did go down? There goes all my videos and I didn't have any backup anywhere. And your hard drive, if you do this for any length of time, like I'm doing a Zoom call every Monday. And for those of you that have been with me for a while knew that I did Mondays and Fridays for the longest time. So I've got quite a collection. And after a while, your hard drive can't hold all of that. And so I started uploading it into Vimeo, and then I started uploading it into YouTube as well as a backup. And what I discovered was that my Vimeo and my YouTube audience are different audience, but they're looking for the same information. And so I'm finding, when you go back and check out the demographics, and we get into all of this into our marketing section when we finally get to that place here in the Build a Better Business. But you can look in the back of the house, as I like to say, and you can see how old are the people? What day do they normally tap in to your videos? How long do they normally listen to one of your videos? How long is it before they move on to a different video? And so all of that information is what helps you make your videos better and better and better. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So get started, but put a global presence if that's where you're headed with this. I chose Teachable because I was all about the teaching modules first, and the videos came second. You know, the YouTube, the Vimeo, and then I upload those into my Teachable as part of my academy as a replay. And then I can even sit and do my own courses, you know, where I don't have an audience at all. I'm just doing a course teaching off of, say, a PowerPoint and making a video of that. And then I can upload those into my Teachable. And then Teachable, not too terribly long ago, created a membership site option already built in. And the reason I picked Teachable, and I know that's like a $50 answer to a 50 cent question on why I chose Teachable. I went all the way around the bush, but the reason I chose Teachable was because I did not want to be a programmer. I wanted to be a passive income mentor. And so I didn't want to pick a program where I had to figure out the coding and how I get this plugin and how I make that work with this. I picked Teachable because they did all of that for me. And all I have to do is pop my information in there. So is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, anyone else? Elise? Aha moment, question, comment?
Aha moment, as always, I think that perfection is the enemy of done. And just like everyone said, it's like, you just got to go for it. Like, make it messy, make it whatever it needs to be. But like, I know, Kathy, you'll say, you know, clarity comes with action. So just kind of throw it out there and then keep going. And then I'll also say that something that Linda said, I think it was maybe in January, but it still stuck with me, and Kathy kind of touched on it today, was that, you know, all of the stuff that you're working on online, like all of your information and your logins and everything, like at a moment's notice, if you don't have that stuff backed up, it could be gone. So just making sure that you're taking care of those little things and having somebody who's trusted, who can know where that stuff is in case of an emergency or in case you need their help. So as always, great conversation. Thank you.
So just so you know, Elise is functioning as a virtual assistant. And so because I have several lanes, one of my big lanes is real estate. Elise also is a real estate investor. And so Elise could actually run my whole real estate. All I have to do is give her the password and hand it over to her. So have some folks like that in your back pocket. And Elise does more than just real estate, by the way. But that's the lane that I use her with is my real estate. If I'm traveling and I can't get somewhere, she's close enough to me that she understands, again, the system that I use. She's very familiar with the system, and I can just hand the reins over to her without any training. And so you need to have some folks like that in your back pocket as you grow. And I know that's down the road. Don't think you have to have that to get started. You need to start. Everybody just simply start. Now, did I think Sherry jumped off because Sherry was on twice, and I don't see her then on as a panelist now. So I think Sherry had to jump off. And Tish, are you at a place where you can chat, or Tish had to go back to work, so she may not? I just want to give Tish or Sherry an opportunity if they are still listening. Okay. Well, I want to thank everybody for coming on. This has been a great episode today. I appreciate you all being here. Linda, thank you for your presentation. It just reaffirms every time I listen to Linda that I have work to do. And I do have a list. And here's what I want to tell you. Write down the obstacles that are stopping you from taking your next best step. I don't have the platform yet. I don't have you know, I don't have the money to do this. I don't have the LLC in place. I don't have a business phone number yet to put on my website. I don't, whatever it is, write down all your obstacles. Those become your checklist to launch. Your obstacles become your checklist to launch. So don't let those obstacles stop you. Let them be your stepping stones to your launch date. Okay. It's been great. With that, everybody that has, oh, Mason says he has a quick question. Go ahead, Mason. Oh, is this directly for me? It says, I have a quick question for you. Oh, when we end, you have a question? Okay. Let me go and do that next. So hang in there, Mason. Don't go away. For everyone else, I want to say thank you so much for being here. And we will see you next time. We're here every Monday at noon, but it's a different topic. It's the first Monday of every month is the Build a Better Business. So be sure and put that on your calendar and join us again next month. We'll see everybody later.